said we weren't going to do the vocal fry thing, John. We all agreed. Brad,
we're testing out the AMSR.
Brad, listen, I know we were just talking about that you were glad to be giving up the handler seat. Take it back. I forgot how working with these monsters is.
I'll never go back.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone, to Greenbox Gaming Plays Delta Green, Puppet Shows, and Shadow Plays, a new operation, the second in our series of our kind of grand canonical series of Delta Green that we are running. Yeah. It's not going to be completely in order. I think every now and then we're probably going to skip around a bit. I'm sorry. This is not even the second in the order. This is third, because not only did we do Brad's incredible homebrew, Remember Forget, we also did another homebrew, a one-shot, a two-episode bit, Unearthed, which was positively incredible. If I don't say so myself, not just because I ran it.
I liked it.
It was very good. But you're joining us here for the beginning of something new, something fresh. We just finished our episode zero. If you want to hear that, it's going to be over on the Patreon. So consider that. It's just $3. You help us out a lot. But for those of you who are watching live or who are watching the VOD later, you will notice that Hippocrates is now displaying our beautiful Visit Beautiful Carcosa t-shirt.
Much like Joe. He's actually got a t-shirt on now. Ooh.
They're wearing our King in Yellow shirt.
Those are looking good. That's the first time I've seen them.
Yes, really?
Oh,
this is a good brand.
Person.
Oh, yeah.
I never had...
You could actually walk up into my room and go into my closet and get yours right now. it's there.
Do it on the break. Yeah.
Your pay Excellent. Will be docked if you don't wear the merchandise.
thank you, Joker, for joining us. So what we're going to do, I actually have a limited supply of other shirts that we're probably going to offer for sale. We're going to figure that out.
Wait, Joe, are those your...
What?
Are those your old shirts? We can't sell your old shirts. Like, it's weird. Nobody wants
there
that.
There are... I'm sure someone Mm-mm. wants my shirts, and I'm not washing them. I'm going to let you know for those of you interested. I'm not washing them.
He has worn every single one, either 3Xs.
I've even worn the extra small. That's extra small wearer of you out there. You know who you are. Let you know. If you're like, this seems like it's been stressed out a bit. What is that musk?
Musk. Fucking word.
Enough of this crap.
Enough of this. Do you guys want to get started?
Yeah.
With puppet shows and shadow plays. No, yeah. No mussing around. No fuss, no muss. How about we get into it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Let's do it.
Right. Yeah.
Let's set the scene, folks. Let's set the scene, guys. It is 1991. Specifically, it is August 1st of 1991. It has been an exciting year for the world. The number one thing that is at the top that everyone is talking about right now is the arrest of the prolific serial killer, Jeffrey Dahmer, which just occurred about a week ago. I mean, everything on media, local and national media, is still buzzing about it. Obviously, the U.S. invades Kuwait in the first Gulf War. I say the first Gulf War. They're just calling it the Gulf War. They're not calling it the first Gulf War. Why would we? It's like, why would we call it World War One?
They had multiple.
Is there going to be a second one? So the U.S. has invaded Kuwait, and I think by this time has already pretty ostensibly kicked Saddam out of Kuwait at this juncture by August. Nirvana has something cooking under the hood that they're going to release here in about a month, which is going to revolutionize the alternative rock scene when they release Smells Like Teen Spirit here in about a month. But no one knows about that yet. The other music, we were actually just looking at the music that was around in summer of 91. We were barely unimpressed. We were like, meh, that's
I did not recognize a lot on the top 100.
that's not the best. But at this time, our crew of agents are all arriving at a little place called Globe, Arizona. It is a modest town in eastern Arizona, which is located about 20 minutes to the west of the San Carlos Apache Indian Reservation. Our team has been called here because, don't get me wrong, the most interesting thing happening, the hottest thing on the news right now is, in fact, Jeffrey Dahmer. But there has been something else floating a little, not under the radar, but it's been used as filler on national news here and there. Disappearances, a rash of disappearances near and on the San Carlos Reservation, along a strip of Route 70 in eastern Arizona that the media has now called the Devil's Highway. Now, this has created a bit of a, let's call it what it is, it's a jurisdictional shitstorm. You've got Arizona State Police want to get involved. You've got Arizona Highway Patrol. They want a piece. It's on Route 70, obviously. Then there's the tribal police, the tribal Apache police, who have, you know, as this is a reservation, it is tribal land. They get to prosecute their own stuff. And now you have these, over the last 2 weeks, four people have gone missing that we know of, with no evidence of murder or foul play, which makes them kidnapping cases. And who investigates kidnapping cases? The FBI. And that's why you guys are here. Your team has been called in, has been assembled by the FBI and brought in, help them try to figure out, or really, honestly, to help them sort out what the fuck is going on here. To try to keep things under, not keep things under wraps. You guys are not here as a part of a secret thing. This is an FBI investigation. But it's complicated. There's media attention. In fact, the Dahmer investigation has actually taken a lot of heat off, which has been a relief in some ways. But you guys are being told, we want you to find these people. We want you to make sure this thing does not blow up in some weird way with the media, and we want you to keep the peace between all the local law enforcement agencies, tribal, highway patrol, state, all of it. We want you to play middleman, which is why they assembled your team. So, it is August 1st. It is blazing hot in Arizona, with days regularly hitting 115, 120 degrees in the baking, baking sun. But it's a dry heat. That's what they say anyway. So, tell us who we see here assembled at this little diner off of the reservation. Little kind of like a modestly successful, modestly sized town. Something to keep in mind, like maybe something just a little bigger than like Oxford, Mississippi, for those of us who are playing here, so that we have something in mind. Small, medium, little city out here in Arizona. Who do we have meeting up in the diner here? Let's start with John. John, why don't we start with John? Who we got?
See a pretty fit-looking, dark-haired man, about, in your people's measurements, 5'10", about 170.
You mean the right measurements?
Pounds. No, the rest of the world doesn't agree with you. Your people's. Dark hair beginning to gray at the temples. He's got very, very alert eyes that constantly scan the entire diner, but seemingly still focused on his coffee as he sips it gently. He's got a pretty business casual suit on. Looks pretty straight-lined, well-groomed, and he carries himself with a calm confidence. He's got a small part of his forearm is kind of exposed because he's got one of his sleeves rolled up, and you can see a small scar on his left forearm. And he is gently sipping his coffee with an upright posture. His name is Thornthorpe.
Thornthorpe.
How old is he? Did you already say that?
He's about 38.
38, okay.
Thornthorpe is a, he works for the State Department. Columbia has also been a little bit spicy around this time. He's been of extreme utility for the State Department on managing complicated diplomatic issues, and they have tapped him to come down here and provide his particular skill set in keeping the peace and bringing people together. That's really what it's about, bringing people together. I'm sure that he's going to get the chance to do a lot of that on this operation.
Or to put them back together.
To put them back together. It should be of note. Of course, you know, Thorn does not know what he doesn't know. He is not read into any conspiracy. Showing up to do his regular job.
Oh, he's part of the FBI. He's worked for the FBI.
He's here with the with the State Department. But he's
okay,
currently
gotcha.
Working with the FBI. You guys are all here under the auspices of FBI.
Gotcha.
Then we're also joined by. Let's hear about.
Quick one.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Also worth noting, the surname Thorpe might recognize it, but we'll just leave that there.
Yeah, we'll just leave that there for those who have been listening along to our other operations. Expertly done. What about Dace? Dace, who else do we see coming into the diner and being
coming in or down? Already there?
We'll say coming in, and you are waved over by another fourth character who I will attend to here in the last. Waved over by a balding man with a serious look over to a booth.
Okay, sure. So we see Bert Morris. The most accurate word I could use to describe Bert is immaculate. Immaculate haircut, three-piece suit, even in the 115 degree heat.
Is he even sweating?
He might. I don't think he is.
Excellent.
So dry.
He's like a Bene Gesserit. He has complete control.
Everything.
He's big on routines, and he knew that he was going to be getting into this heat. So he has, you know, his precise routine that he has to go through every morning to prevent dampening his immaculate three-piece suit. And his posture is just ramrod straight, and he has like a very intense gaze. And as he walks into the diner, he might pause for 15 seconds and just lose all facial expression and just stare for an uncomfortably long time.
And
then
what?
Once the guy gestures him over, he'll break out his best, most friendly grin and say, "Hey, it's so good to see you."
It's an uncomfortable encounter, to say the least. But at the same time, it's so dialed in Bert has this so dialed in. He's like, he's wired in with other people's nervous systems to make them comfortable, even when they shouldn't be.
Yeah, exactly. Nailed it. So who's this guy that's gesturing me over?
Like I said, it's a bald guy. He's got a tie. He's got a very, very official look to him, and he has an FBI badge on his belt. And sitting next to him is the last member of our party. Brad, who do we have? Who's the person sitting in this booth?
This person's name is Jack Dorner, and he's got a shorter side, maybe like 5'7", skinny, hair about my length, but gray and a little bit more. He looks about mid-40s. He looks fit, but is maybe a little bit more aged in the face, and he looks like typical college professor. He's got a tie, you know, like a blue cheap kind of like polished shirt underneath the blazer with the like little pads,
elbow
pads. Maybe he has that slung over his shoulder because it's so hot. And he's just got like a little old suitcase next to him where he's got like papers and maybe he's like writing something in a journal, and he's just got like egg whites and on his plate and a cup of coffee, and gotcha. He's kind of like hunched over, maybe like looking over stuff, maybe not even paying attention to Bert that walks up right away.
So let's talk about this other guy who's sitting here with you guys. I'm going to drop his picture here on the board. I'll let you guys move that around as you see fit. This is Agent Bill Willicutt, or Willicutt. As you guys, each of you has been instructed to come here and meet with Bill specifically.
What does he look like for the audience?
For the audience, bald. You can tell he's balding, but he has shaved his head. Like, he's one of those guys. Like, he was balding. He went ahead and shaved the thing.
Bruce Willis vibes.
Strong Bruce Willis vibes. I was about to say
strong Bruce Willis vibes. You know, it's like
in his best days.
He's in his like early 40s. He wears a very cheap government type suit. Can see the sidearm on his hip and the badge that he has as well. And he is a real no-nonsense kind of guy. We are going to real quick, before we get into what he has to say to the whole group. He met with one of you a little earlier. Only one of you. Earlier. The first to come. He told you guys to all come here at 9 o'clock. Well, two of you to come here at 9 o'clock, rather. One of you, he instructed to meet him at 7. 7 out in the parking lot where you sat in his car. That'd be you, Jack Dorner. Dr. Dorner. Sat in this car, he flagged you down. Sat down and he had a conversation with you, a private conversation. Well, Dr. Dorner is, Agent Willicutt, Special Agent Willicutt. You can call me Bill.
He kind of, you know, he knows he has, like, ink on his hand, and when he goes to shake and, like, kind of wipes out, he's like, pleased to meet you. Reaches out his hand.
I'm gonna cut to the chase here, Doctor. We have a mutual friend. I know your wife. Worked with her.
She okay?
Don't know. I don't know. Don't want to know. Hard as that may be to hear. I understand that you have been introduced to things. A little ahead of your time. Just know that our mutual friends are the reason we're here. And this is your opportunity to show you're trustworthy. And if that happens, we might be able to give you peel back the curtain a bit more.
I don't understand. I've been answering your questions via fax for the past months. What else is there to do?
We'll see. Just keep your mouth shut, your eyes open. If you see anything weird while we're here, I think you know what I mean by weird.
Like the dreams.
You keep a lid on it, and you tell me. The other two, they know nothing. And nothing.
I think so, but why even bring them along? Have they had similar experiences like me?
Not to my knowledge. Needless to say, we need them because they need to help us handle this shit show. Not here. But me and you, see something weird, you tell me about it. If necessary, You help me distract people from it, okay? I know I'm asking a lot of you, Doc. I know. Trust me. It's what has to happen.
It will get me more information about Sage and where she is. I'll do my best.
I promise you. And look at me. Look at me. And he's very serious. He's like, I promise you, all this goes well, I'll tell you everything I know. Okay?
He gets, Dr. Dorn gets super serious at that and enough said type thing.
Okay. Well, let's go in and get some coffee. Then we'll come back to around 9 o'clock, all four of you sitting here. Our two conspirators on one side of the booth and our other two, the other. Special Agent Willicott says, all right, everybody. Excellent. Thank you for joining me here. This is Dr. Jack Dorner. This is Thorne Thorpe with the State Department. And this is Bert Morris. He's going to be our legal expert here on the ground, making sure we don't tiptoe over the law line of the law on some pretty complicated stuff.
Bert Morris, nice to meet you. And he shoves his hands in your faces and like vigorously shakes your hands. So nice to meet you, truly.
Excellent.
nice and to meet you as well. Are you an expert on the Apache or this area?
I can't say that I'm an expert on the Apache, but I do have a great deal of experience with reservation law.
Yes. So, you know, and each of you has some specialty that does apply here, you know, where Thorne is a diplomat and has managed some very complicated stuff with literally other nations, and the Apache Nation is a distinct nation. Bert does have some specifics about complications with reservation U.S. law and whatnot. And then, of course, we have Dr. Dorner Jack has an appreciation for cultures, for complicated interactions, American culture.
Thorne.
You guys have any questions here?
What are we doing? We simply must. And then Bert clocks the waitress and gives her one of these, a come hither gesture.
Oh my god.
And
Jesus.
Darling, what's your name?
Just call me Judith.
Judith, such a pleasure to meet you, Judith. I believe Jack will be having the eggs over easy. Thorne will be having the Midwestern breakfast. And I, myself, I'll just have a rare steak. A rare, rare steak. And what's our associate's name?
Bill.
Special Agent Willicott.
Special Bill. Agent Willicott will have a simple crepe. Thank you so much, Judith.
Roll a human. Let's see.
Okay. That's a 340.
You guys are a little insulted, but the orders are not bad. Like, they're not bad orders.
And gentlemen, breakfast is on me. It goes without saying. It's just a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to meet you all.
Jack whispered.
He just lets out a
the special
loud
agent.
Sigh.
He's like, "You told me to tell you if I see anything strange, right?"
He judges you. all right. Thank you. thank you, Bert. For that's very gracious. Listen, let's talk about what's going to happen here. Now, you guys have all been brought in by the FBI. We are technically working under special agent in charge, Patrick Hobson, at the Phoenix office. But let me tell you, he's going to be a voice on the other end of the line. I'm going to liaise with him. And let's just set some ground stuff here right now. And I am not trying to be heavy-handed here, gentlemen. Like, I am really, really interested in doing good work here and finding these people and keeping the media circus at a minimum. But let's be very clear, okay? This is Special Agent Willicott's team, and I am the head of that team. I'm the team lead. I need you guys to help me, okay, in your specific areas of expertise, keep things quiet, do a little bit of investigating, but the majority of investigating is me, okay? Now that, again, you guys are here with something specific. This is not a dick measuring contest. I really am glad that they have given me some help here to deal with some complicated stuff, you understand. Please call me Bill. And I assume you guys have heard the reports on the news. What have you heard thus far?
Jack is cutting around the yolk and still just eating the whites of the eggs that was handed to him. And he's like kind of keeping quiet and like studying Thorpe and Bert and seeing what their reaction to that question is.
Thorne will probably sip his coffee and put it down, say, well, just know this has been a hotbed of contestations across both sides. We're at the confluence of a very complicated set of features on a map, if you were to reduce it to that, but overall, just know that people have gone missing on the highway, but nothing beyond that. And I think it would be safe. No, it would be even be ridiculous without more information to understand what the hell has been happening here. But that's not how the media works.
Oh, no, it is not. Well, what about you, Bert? What have you heard about this thus far?
So Bert is cutting into his rare steak. And
how are we, like, rare?
Just bleeding. Rare.
Oh,
okay, yeah, okay. Just absolutely bloody. Beef, and he pauses for a full 8 seconds, watching the blood flow out of the steak.
It's like the intro to Dexter.
Like, gentlemen, what we have here, there is a legal word for it. What we call it, the nomenclature, is a clusterfuck. A jurisdictional clusterfuck. There are so many red lines that we are going to have to navigate. And there's nothing to do but figure it out.
And to be frank, gentlemen, like, this is why Bird is here. He's here to help me navigate this jurisdictional clusterfuck.
Bert,
because I'm not kidding, like, this is very real.
You said you're an expert on some regional matters. Do you perchance speak Apache?
I do.
That's
not speak
unfortunate.
Apache.
And he just starts sipping his coffee.
Okay.
And you see Bert, the smallest eye twitch. The smallest eye twitch. However, I am fluent in Chickasaw and Choctaw, which are my regional languages. Do you see?
Sure.
Oh, I can tell this is going to be great. This is just going to be fantastic.
If I may, Special Agent or Bill, how many people have been taken captive by this supposed one? Are we looking at multiple different people involved in these kidnaps?
Well, that's the thing, is the reason that the FBI is even here is because we are basically there's no murder yet, and even if there is, I mean, we still have these missing persons. This is basically a missing persons case.
Jack,
and
Jack,
the FBI.
Doctor? Dr. Jack? May I call you that? I don't know if you were listening earlier, but there's a certain set of criteria that we have to fulfill for somebody to be, in air quotes, kidnapped versus somebody who's been murdered. We need to find the facts, my friend. What are you a doctor of again?
History was my main focus, so forgive me if I'm a little ignorant to the protocols involved in a murder.
I'm not trying to be pedantic here, but we do have to watch our language, because these are the kinds
so
of measures.
Massively pedantic.
These matters matter.
Well, you're a diplomat, is that correct?
Correct.
Thorn, what exactly are we allowed to do? Can we go on this reservation and ask questions willy-nilly? Are we even allowed to go in their homes? I mean,
can I straight up roll a law?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this would be a perfect time to roll something like law or bureaucracy to figure out what you guys know about what's going on here.
That's a failure.
Only we had a lawyer.
And how complicated this is. Yes.
But Thorn will try and skirt it. It's like, well, that's a bit of a gray area. They're probably better people suited to understand.
Is that what he says when he doesn't know the answer?
Exact nature.
So for you, and he's like, oh, Thorn, please allow me. let me roll the law.
And he gets
it. I hope you also fail.
It's like 16 under fucking 90.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right, you know... Okay,
please,
so here's what,
Thorn.
So here's what Bert knows, and this is why Bert is here. You know that the... the reservation is owned by the Apache Nation. They have their own law enforcement. They have their own laws. In fact, you actually know that if you do find that a murder has occurred on reservation land, that the tribal police actually has jurisdiction to prosecute that murder, and they have different laws. They can sentence people to death completely separate from the rest of the state and federal law system. It's very complicated, but the question is, if the FBI is here investigating, this is where things get hazy. If the FBI is here investigating, the FBI discovers it, or if the person who was murdered was not Apache, but it happened on Apache land, does that count? And this is where things get complicated. Right? And this is why Bert is here to help try to unfuck that. But again, no one's been found yet, so it's still very much a kidnapping case.
So, my legal advice as a sort of mediator would be that we do not need to be affiliated with any governmental organization. We need to ingratiate ourselves with the local reservations police department, find out what they know. Oh, Judith, a refill. Thank you, love. And
you're welcome.
Once we have their records, then we'll know what we know, and we can go from there.
Did you end with a finger gun?
Finger guns for the video.
Smile and finger gun.
And
your advice as a lawyer is to get hired by the Apache police force,
well,
and then...
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, gentlemen. Bert's actually right. There's two main movers and shakers here as far as local law enforcement's go. First and foremost is the Apache chief of police, Chief Colorados.
Colorados.
Yep, he's gonna be our he's gonna be our man, our liaison with the locals. I mean, if there's anything that needs to be done with the Apache, you got to keep in mind us as the Apache. They're accustomed to the bullshit they usually get into with the state police and the state troopers. They do not like the feds coming in here messing around. I'm sure you know there's a long history of federal government and Indian reservations and bad blood. So, us coming in here is going to be seen as an affront the fact that I'm here. That's why I'm going to play a background role whenever we interact with the tribal police, okay? I'm going to let you guys take... You guys are less threatening, right?
Jesus.
Less federal feeling. You understand?
He looks around and he sees us all dressed in suits. Like, well, we could have probably coordinated our outfits a bit better if we didn't want to come across as...
Don't worry about that. The fact that you don't have a badge and a gun is going to go a long way, okay? Our other one is the state trooper commander for this area. His name is Major... he's going to be Major Frank Garrett. They are... Major Garrett, he's a bit of an old school guy. Like I said, state trooper, long-term career man. I'm going to be frank with you.
Jesus.
I think he's going to be more problematic for us than Colorado's. Colorado's has been very, very cooperative. Major Garrett seems to want to swing his weight around. Thinks this is his town, his stretcher road.
This is Highway Patrol Chief.
Highway Patrol Commander.
Commander.
So he technically has...
Please leave it to me. I have extensive experience with men like Frank. Trust me.
I'm looking forward to watching your work, Bert, frankly. You're really blowing me all the water thus far. I feel like I should feel threatened by you, but at the same time, I'm oddly calmed.
Bert leans in, uncomfortably close, and just smiles with his white teeth.
They're, like, so white. They're so white. Okay. So, listen. I actually have something for you. I have a bit of a briefing. And again, and on the mirror board, guys, move that stuff around completely as you see fit. I know Jean is, per usual,
he's on
a great
it.
Job keeping up with everything. I actually have something for you. It's a bit of a summary here, a document of the of those cases thus far that we have, these persons' cases. Four cases to... We have the dates and everything. Again, this has all happened here in the last 2 weeks. So, for the listening audience, would one of you... Gonna tell us what we're looking at.
Thorn snaps it away and it kind of like flexes it off.
Trying to log into Miro so someone else.
Like he's been very good at snatching and preparing papers to be read. Says United States Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Investigation.
We don't have to read everything.
There's a table. I don't understand how you bring us in and you don't want us to pay attention to the details here, Bill. But fine. We have three people, if you want. Ed and Chris, Felix, Dieter, and Leslie. These are our people, and they've gone missing.
Oh. Okay, so out of character, this is a list of...
Yeah.
List the missing of the people. I thought people. For some reason, I thought it was all women. I guess...
No.
That was just an assumption.
And no, that's who Bert would have kidnapped and killed.
Right, that's who Bert would have
So it's some spin character.
And
or is
so
there a character?
So what we have here is he'll point out each one. He's like, we have the individuals who have all gone missing.
You mentioned
with the approximate dates.
Four people earlier, Bill.
I'm seeing six people here. Four separate kidnappings, pardon me, four groups of people.
These are important details.
Yes, you
These
guys
are four
have
groups
a,
of people.
You guys have a very high standard for exactly how you want your information to be delivered. I see that now.
Bill,
I obviously
details Bill, are functions. Important.
Bill, he like rubs his eyes. Bill, if you need somebody who's not going to be detail-oriented, I can send a recommendation. But if you want the best, you've got the best.
I feel like we're getting into a typical handler Delta Green agent interaction here, where you guys hate me for no reason.
No, that's so true.
Why do you guys always give the person you meet first a hard time? I don't get it. Sorry, none of that was said. Specifically, here's what we have. Here's what we know. We've got four groups of people, six total people who've gone missing. We have Ed Stoltz and Chris Martin. They were out fishing at the lake. Their camp is left, their car missing. We have Felix Royos. Now, Felix is a, while Chris and Ed, while Stoltz and Martin are live over in Globe, Felix is an Apache, living and working at the truck stop on the reservation. He was working night shift. Supposedly there's some surveillance footage that we need to go check out. He's the only one we know exactly when he went missing, which was when he was working. Okay. Then we have Dieter and Vera Van Olsen. They were two Dutch tourists. Rental car found abandoned on the side of the road along Route 70. Last one is Leslie Sumter. He's a 17-year-old. Last seen on the 20th. Reported by parents missing on the 28th. A bit of a delinquent, but expected to have gone missing on the reservation. Yeah, and details down there, kind of what the information we have on them thus far.
Well, they don't seem to be particularly similar at first glance.
Bert kind of chuckles. We simply cannot follow up with the foreigners or the teen vagrant. We have to go to the source and find the footage of the man at the gas station. This is clearly the most rational course of action.
When you say foreigners and teen vagrant, Bill's eye, Agent Willicott's eyebrow, raises about as high as it can. As he looks the other two of you, what do you think?
Well, for different reasons, I think he might be right that we just get the low-hanging fruit on that surveillance data.
You cut out there.
To get the low-hanging fruit on that surveillance data.
Just a question. So this highway goes is. It goes through the Apache.
Yes, if you actually look on the Miro, the map there, the one with the terrain map.
Okay. Yes.
That is.
That's the reservation.
That is
that,
so. So the entirety of this map here that you see, that place where it says reservation border, so Geronimo, Arizona is off of the reservation. Everything you're seeing else is on the reservation.
Gotcha.
All of Wait, that, let me, like up where you see San Carlos and Peridot, and like Vilas and Calaba, Arizona, all of that is on the reservation.
We got to post that map somewhere.
You see it on the mural?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, for listeners.
Oh, you're looking at this, the colored map. Okay.
Yes, yes, the terrain map, yeah.
Gotcha.
So I'm gonna put down some marks here.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's put a little pins, see if there are any patterns.
Yep, so we are going to see. So, Jean, you're looking at the map right now?
Yeah.
Gas station.
Okay.
See that mark?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where the truck stop worker who is Apache.
Truck stop worker.
We have video of that supposedly.
And then we have this one here. This is where the abandoned car was on the side of the road. This is the Dutch tourist.
Okay.
And then the down here at San Carlos Lake, where the reservoir is, this is where the campsite, where the fishermen.
That would be a bit of a trek.
So you guys are in Globe off the map. Be where the little arrow is, where it points off to the west.
Yeah.
Luca, you're fucking amazing.
Is it John? What? Dude. Oh,
yeah, I'm just putting some emojis on the map.
His emojis are quite appropriate.
On point.
And we're
a gas pump, a Dutch flag, and then a little camp tent.
And then the last one, Leslie.
Leslie, you don't know.
Okay.
Oh, because her parents just called her missing, and yes. We suspect it's
yes,
the
you
team
know
vagrant
that's...
as.
Vagrant.
Yes. So vagrant.
The description for the info for Leslie, white female, age 17, transient delinquent, raised in local area with several juvenile arrests for possession of narcotics, curfew violations, criminal solicitation, criminal mischief, breaking and entering, and runaway charges. She's usually absent for several days at a time from her parents' home in Globe, who state it's unusual for her to be gone for more than 3 to 4 days. Last observed by a school truancy officer at a gas station in Globe, and is known to travel to the reservation with other juveniles for cigarettes and alcohol. So she's been grouped in with this investigation because the assumption is that she has been, that she's often back and forth on the reservation. Often.
Okay, before Jack agrees with this, this angle to go after the footage first, can I do a study of the map and see if I can glean anything from these locations?
I'm not sure. Give me some
basically, can I do some role for it seems like raw intelligence, but something to that extent to see if there's a pattern within the specific locations on this map? Because that's the only thing I have, really. And he's kind of analytical.
Yeah, give me a raw intelligence.
Oh, 44 crit.
Wow.
A crit?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Despite the fact that you do not have a killer's instinct quite like Bert, you I keep imagining Bert as Finnegan, but I have to remind myself that he's not.
Different flavor.
Same sickness.
Unquenchable thirst. Yeah, so Jack Dorner, you're looking at this and you're asking yourself, you're like, why these spots? You know, place along the highway, campsite, fuel station, you know, you kind of, you know, and maybe as you're doing this, you know, Agent Willicott, he kind of like, you guys are both looking at this map of where these things have happened. He's like, he says to you, he's like, you know, I was thinking, where these cases have all happened, kidnappings, these are all places where you can leave quickly, or keep many people come and go. People drive through the reservation all the time. Tourists, people just driving to Phoenix, you know. I immediately wonder, I think there is a fear by some that this has something to do with the Apache, but this smells to me like someone using the highway, using the ability to come and go quickly as part of their thing. And, you know, and
Bert's eyes go dead like a shark's, like shark's eyes.
and Jack, you think, like, I don't know, there's something about this that you really feel like, you think that you would go so far as to say, and looking at this area, you wonder, is like, there's something in the back of your mind. You're like, is there something special about this area? You don't know if it's so much about the Apache as there's something about the area itself that makes it unique. And maybe as you're looking at the topography of the land, you find yourself wondering if there's anything special about the land itself. What is unique about this area as opposed to the fact that the Apache are here? Find yourself...
I'm looking at the mountains, the river, the lake. It seems to be a valley, but that's all I can get from it.
Well, here's the thing. With your critical success, I will give you this. Because you had a critical success. and maybe this is, and once you, if you mention this, it's something that the others, especially probably, honestly, probably Bert would know as well if you bring it up. You know, this area has been rife with conflicts. You know, this area has been rife with conflicts about specifically mineral rights, right? You actually think you remember even recalling now that the man, like, there's something about, you think you remember something, seeing something about there being an excavation of a mine that
fascinating
had two things going for it. One, it had a massive mine accident, and then they also discovered Native American remains while excavating the mines on reservation land, which of course led to the absolute shutdown. The two combined led to massive shutdowns of all mining on the San Carlos Reservation. And, you know, so you're thinking, like, that's something kind of interesting about this area that's going on, especially with everything being so mountainous and hilly.
So, okay, so Jack will say, I'm all for going for this first attempt at the video at the gas station, Bert, but I do want to put this evidence forward. And he reaches into his note bag after looking at all this, and he's like, he's done his research prior to getting here, and he has, like, newspapers, and he puts, like, the mining news on there. I don't know how long ago that happened, but he has, like, a snippet of the newspaper, the Indian remains there. He's like, this is important to keep in the back of our minds while we venture forward.
And
where's the mine?
You guys probably wouldn't know that off the top of your head. Like, you're gonna have to look into that if there's a thing. You know, there's like a few mines. There's a few different mines in this area.
Yeah. Bert sees the paperwork and he is like, mines. That's right, the mines. Seems like a perfect place to hide a body.
Like, too loud. Like, just entirely too loud in this fucking diner. Which I'm sure doesn't attract any kind of attention.
That was terrifying to watch.
Oh my god.
Jack keeps his head down and just puts his paper back into his seat.
Oh my god. Alright, Wilcott's like, well, I mean, that is a part of the complications with the natives, with the Apache, is that one of the reasons why they're so prickly about feds, because they take the ownership and the economic opportunities of their land very seriously. They have a casino, you know, there on the reservation. They run a pretty modest operation selling, you know, cigarettes and alcohol and, you know, and all of that, you know, without tax. So people travel from all over to buy stuff, and they have been regularly trying to get concessions from different companies and the federal government itself for mining rights and stuff, you know. It's their land after all, but, you know, it has been a thorn in the federal government's side for a long time, so maybe it's a part of it, maybe it's not. But really, but I think there are two things we need to do. We need to meet Colorados, and we need to meet Garrett. Major Garrett and Chief Colorados. And develop that relationship at some point.
Okay. Well, it seems like Felix may be his brother. Has had some conviction, so perhaps we go and visit whichever jurisdiction he is under and kill two birds with one stone.
The brother.
Enrico Royals.
Enrico Royos. Yes. The Royos kid has a brother who's currently in the pen, I believe. I think he's a state penitentiary.
So that would be Frank's jurisdiction.
It'd be the state for the money. Yes and no, essentially. I say we run down some more local stuff. If you want, I can put... Here's the thing, I can put my FBI people on there on talking to Royos. Royos.
If I could suggest, I think we do go with the video camera and tell... Go the kind of the opposite thing. Go to the video camera, since it has to do with an Apache citizen, and tell the chief to meet us there at the gas station, because it has something to do, you know, with the Apache citizen, and we can meet him and then also go over their surveillance tape.
So
that seems less complex than
we could have Colorados meet us at the gas station, if that's what you're saying.
So hold
that's
on.
What I'm saying
is Felix isn't on the reservation. He's just Hispanic, right? There's no evidence to say he's part of the nation.
Well, that's a mistake, if that says that. Yep, that does say he's Hispanic male. No, he is Apache.
Apache, okay.
Oh, Felix is Apache, too.
Got it. Okay.
Where are you getting your documents from? Who is your paralegal? They simply need to be fired.
Whoever typed this up really needs to pay better attention.
Stop there.
We simply must do better. You're right. The American people deserve better.
I think the gas station's a more straightforward approach. This Felix thing, visiting his brother, that seems like a can of worms.
I would suggest that it seems a bit overwhelming to have Major Garrett there on the scene at the gas station. Gentlemen, you have to keep in mind, there might be certain tactics, certain approaches that we might have to use to get the information that we need. And if Major Garrett is there, that might limit our options.
I actually agree with Bert.
I agree with Bert.
I will trust your judgment. And he'll agree. And so Bert, maybe just do the gas station first.
On the table. Then it's agreed. What a great breakfast. Thank you, Judah. He's up and storms out.
$100 for a diner breakfast in 1991. Like, man, oh man. He's really flashing his wealth.
He's extra.
Out there.
He's extra. Yeah, he is. 3-piece suit in 115 degree weather.
Not sweating. Not even a little bit. And it's not because he's not hydrated. Before he stands up, he drinks an entire glass of orange juice and a whole glass of water. Like, all in one go.
As is his routine. It's more efficient that way. You don't drink while you're eating. You eat, and then you drink everything after.
Exactly. Agent Willicott, he watches Bert storm out. He's like, okay, I guess we're going. I have a rental. We can all pile in.
That's great. Bill, just question for you. Where did you find this fucking guy?
I didn't. the Phoenix office apparently thought that he had some type of specialty, okay. So they sent him over here. I'm kind of impressed, honestly. Again, it's like he understands my own nervous system better than I do. Like, he's playing on very specific things to get very specific reactions from me. All right. So are you guys heading to the gas station? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I think that's the plan.
Okay. Willicott will insist that we all go in the same car. He's like, let's all go in the sedan. Bureau's paying for it. And you guys load up and you head out to the San Carlos reservation.
those of you who aren't familiar, I mean, it's not like you have to, like, stop at the borders necessarily. It's not like that, but the reservations are considered to be sovereign land. You know, they are run by their own governments, their own police forces, all of that.
Joe, just a quick question, I'm sorry. To the gas station location, is that also on the reservation?
Yes. Let me pull up the map again.
So is the green border...
Everything to the left is in the reservation.
Is the reservation. I'm with you. So that...
Yes.
This is the wrong place. Gotcha.
Yes. So the casino would be further to the northwest.
Okay.
Because it's up on Route 8.
Geronimo's also...
I was completely confused. Felix is at the gas station. Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to look into Felix's death
at the gas station. Okay. On the reservation.
Cool.
Or his kidnapping, sorry.
Geronimo is a native name, but it's not on the reservation.
It's not actually the reservation.
Geronimo,
okay.
Arizona.
So it's a little bit appropriated on that one. Not really. No.
Let me see. Yeah, so can you take your little casino icon? Can you put that up there on Route 8?
Got it.
Just to the north of the Perfect. Route 8 sign. There you go. So yeah, so you guys head down. It takes you guys 25-30 minutes to get all the way down to the gas station. The vast majority of this drive, once you get away from Globe, I mean, is open. That kind of beautiful desolation of a lot of Arizona. You know, like big, colorful sand plateaus, rocks, washouts, wadis. You guys do cross over a river, over a quite large bridge over the San Carlos River, where the San Carlos Reservoir is located, and there's a man-made dam at the bottom of it. Pass through quite many, and I would say that anyone, especially Jack, know that this area has a long history, like in the Gold Rush, stuff like that, you know? So there are, you know, ruins of towns that are hundreds of years old, you know, with like little shacks that in the complete arid dryness have just never really rotted away. That have been blasted apart by sand more than anything. You know, there are, you know, life on the reservation is hard. There are a lot of homes that don't even have electricity. And people live pretty sparse lives. There might be a little cluster of homes, a little, you know, whether they're permanent homes or house trailers or something every now and then. But it's a hard life. It's a hard life out here on the reservation.
It's basically when and True Detective, when they're driving through, and he's like, I smell a psychosphere. So he's like saying that it's the memory of a dead town.
Yeah. It's like the memory of a dead town. No, it's like, it's not unlike that, you know, like there definitely is a lot of, most of the movement through the reservation is either to go to the lake where there's a campsite or to go to the casino. Or again, as Willikit mentioned, to pass through to get to Phoenix. You guys, and as you guys are driving through, you know, and you're driving in this long open air, you know, Willikit, you know, he's got sunglasses on, his federal agent, like aviators. He's like, I went ahead and called Colorado. Before we left, he'll be meeting us there. And, like I said, guys, I'm going to let you take the lead on this. Do not fuck me. Understand?
Bert winks heavily. We won't let you down.
Hopefully
Jack
not.
Nods. Reassurance, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you know my background, but we should be good. Bert. Sorry.
Good.
Bill.
I
just sometimes get names a little wrong, but other than that, I'm solid for you.
As we see the car just woo, like down this long, hot road, the mirage rising up, you know, as you guys are, you know, from one hit, you guys are like between one hilltop to the next, It's just nothing. And maybe, probably not Bert, because he doesn't feel things. But, you know, but Thorn, as you look out over the heat, you do get this pit in your stomach about what you're walking into, what you're going to find out here in the desert, what's waiting for you. And that, my friends, is where we are going to stop for episode 1 of Puppet Shows and Shadow Plays with Green Box.
Nice.
Very, very nice.
Nice.
So,
this is exciting.
That's fun.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a perfect ending point. We got a good...
That's like a
it's very cinematic.
It is very cinematic, but that's like between two episodes of like True Detective. That's how it goes. It's like,
yep.
I feel something's out there watching me. You know. Guys, I'm liking these characters, man. You know, and the funny thing is like when you guys first had let me know that like none of you really wanted to do any like traditional investigator type roles, none of you wanted to be any cops or anything like that, I was like, I wonder how this is going to go, but I don't know. It's kind of been good. I like it.
Yeah. We already have kind of idea. I mean, blame the mines and might have something to do with it. There's been a battle over minerals to a certain extent. And we have a hunch that it's set up to look like it has to do with the Apaches, but maybe not. Like the highway is just like an easy route.
Yeah.
For this, for whatever reason. But yeah.
What are you thinking, Dace?
I was just like still feeling the character out, you know, but I think the way I'm going to play it is Bert might have more of an insight into a killer's methods. So I think that's the way, like, it's like a hunter hunting a hunter.
Yeah.
Like, that's the mentality that I'm going into with.
No, I love it.
I don't know. It's very fluid. That's not canonical. We're not saying that Bert is a serial killer. That's
we're
just
not
like
saying that
yet.
I'm approaching it.
You felt, that's on you. Okay? Like, that's has nothing to do with Bert.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you for joining us. Hey, if you want to get these a week early, you want to get the session 0 where we kind of beat out these characters, head over to the Patreon. We really appreciate your support. It literally makes us able to do this. That being said, I'd like to thank two new people. I'd like to thank Dorchester resident, who's been hanging out with us for a minute over on Twitch and stuff like that. And of course, AD West, who wrote Unearthed. Joined us.
AD West, awesome. Oh, cool. Great to have you.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much. Well, listen, we are going to take a break. We're going to take a break. We're going to grab some water and whatnot. Something about doing Willicott's voice really hurts my throat. I don't know what it is. It's not like a gravelly voice. It's just making
more
my throat
so
hurt.
Than Axel.
Right. Yeah, Axel's more natural.
No, Axel's worse. But listen, we will take a break and we will come back for those of you who are watching live. For those of you who are watching later, again, thank you for listening. It's been incredible. And we will catch you next time. Remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.